Well, this evening we're turning to the book of Matthew. Thank you for joining us tonight. The book of Matthew, chapter number 14. And previously on Sunday evenings, we've been enjoying a study on the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we have part three of the miracle of Christ walking upon water. Please join with me in Matthew chapter 14. And let's begin in verse number 25. And we'll read down to verse number 33. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking upon the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. And Lord, we need your help once again to impart upon our lives, Lord, and upon our hearts, the engrafted word of God. And Lord, we pray your blessed Holy Spirit would minister to us this evening. Lord, I do ask that your word would go forth with purpose and with power. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you as we look at the miracles of your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we see his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ saved us, Christ loved us. Lord, we thank you for the salvation he provides. We thank you for the comfort and security we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us as your people once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, as we continue our study in the book of Matthew, if you've missed out on the previous messages from this chapter, they are available online. But we are now up to the third and final lesson here in the miracle of Christ walking upon water. Now, just to review, you might remember with me, first of all, we saw the watching Savior. There in verses 22 to 24, the Bible tells us that the Lord sent his disciples to cross over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He sent them away in a ship, but this time it was different from previous times. The Lord did not accompany them in the ship. He went up to a mountain. He went to pray. Now, what was the Lord doing? Why did he send them into the Sea of Galilee knowing that there was a great storm brewing? Well, you see, the Lord was testing his disciples. He was encouraging them to live by faith. And yet, though that he was up on a mountain high and he was apart from his disciples, we learn a wonderful, encouraging truth that the Lord is always with us. Though he wasn't present physically with his disciples, he was still with them. In fact, he was praying for them. And what a wonderful truth for the child of God that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he is our intercessor. He stands at the right hand of the throne of God and he intercedes on our behalf before God the Father. So we learned some wonderful lessons about our watching Savior. Then we learned some lessons about walking by faith. As Peter saw the Lord and he asked the Lord, Lord, can I come out onto the water? We learned what it means to walk by faith as a Christian. What does it mean to walk by faith? Well, it means stepping out at the Lord's command. The Lord said to Peter, come, I want you to come. And therein was the security that Peter had and the trust
that Peter could rely on to step out by faith. And you know, friends, when you and I know what God wants us to do, when we hear His Word speaking to us and we take that step of faith, friends, you and I are then entering into the miraculous life with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are entering into the miraculous with the Lord, and He calls us to come to Himself. But we can only do so by faith, by trusting in the Lord. And last time, the second point, last message, we saw how Peter sank by fear. You know, he was walking by faith, and then he sank by fear. I'm sure we can relate tonight when there have been circumstances in our lives that have caused us to fear. We've stepped out by faith, but suddenly things are much more difficult than we thought. And that's the situation Peter found himself in. Because he was walking by faith, and he looked at the circumstances around him, he saw the wind was boisterous, the wind was contrary. He was afraid of the wind and the waves, and by looking at the circumstances around him, by doing so, he took his eyes off the Saviour, and he began to sink. And so we learnt previously some lessons about sinking in fear, and how we need to be sure to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Just like Joseph of old, as we learnt this morning, if we look at our circumstances, we'll still be in the pit. We'll still be in that pit of despair. We'll still be in that pit of sorrow and woe. But God doesn't want us to stay there. Joseph had faith in God. And there'll be times in our life that you and I will sink. We will allow the circumstances to take our eyes off the Lord. We will fear and despair at times. You know, if Peter sank, if there was a time in his life when he took his eyes off the Lord, the great Apostle Peter, I dare say in your life and mine, there'll be times like that as well. When we sink in fear, when our heart sinks at the trial that faces us, perhaps in our home, in our lives. And tonight, lastly, we're going to learn some wonderful lessons about what it means to rise with the Lord Jesus Christ. To rise with Christ. You know, Peter's example is a very real one. Notice first of all what the Bible says in verse number 30. The Bible says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink," what are the next words? "He cried out, saying, Lord, save me." Notice first of all, when Peter was beginning to sink, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. Friend, if you and I are sinking in fear, if you and I are despairing in the trials of life, if you and I have taken our eyes off the Lord, what is the solution? How can we rise up out of that pit? How can we overcome the trial ahead? How can we live in victory as a Christian? Well, we need to cry out to the Lord. We need to call out to the Lord in faith and expect Him to deliver us in His might and in His power. The psalmist said this, "The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." Thank God for that wonderful promise. But friends, that's our faith. To believe what the psalmist says, we need to live by faith. If we live by sight, we will live in fear. We will continue to be overwhelmed by the billows and waves around us that overwhelm us because we're looking at the circumstances. When you and I find ourselves sinking, first of all, we need to cry out to the Lord. Now, as Peter was sinking, would you agree that he was in trouble? Now, he was walking on water. What a miracle. It was a miracle of God because he trusted in the Lord. But suddenly, he's sinking. He was in big trouble. The storm had not ceased at this point. It was a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee. It was dark. It was the early morning hours. And there was Peter sinking suddenly. But notice he cried out to the Lord. And what do we see about his cry, about his plea, about his prayer? Notice that it was immediate. When did Peter cry out to the Lord? Did Peter cry out to the Lord when his head was about this high above the water? No. The Bible says when he was beginning to sink. Peter didn't cry out at the bottom of the sea, did he? No, Peter was no Jonah, amen. Okay, he knew whom he needed. He knew he needed the Lord. He didn't cry out from the bottom of the sea. He didn't cry out when he was about to breathe his last breath. No, the Bible says, beginning to sink. You know, sometimes Peter's criticized for his little faith. He was the only one that was willing to step out. But he did well in this situation. He did well because he called out to the Lord straight away. And what a wonderful lesson for you and I when we find ourselves overwhelmed with the trials of life or the circumstances around us. What a wonderful lesson to learn that we must cry out to the Lord and we need to do it straight away. Amen?
Amen.
We need to not wait. And men, we need to not think that you and I can fix it up in our own strength. See, that's our problem as men. We think we can work it out. We can do it on our own. And yes, there's a challenge and there's a trial. But hey, if there's any challenge in front of us, we think we can sort it out on our own. Sometimes Christians, what do? We wait. We wait to try and fix it ourselves. We come up with our own plans and solutions. Sometimes we look to the world and not to the Lord. Sometimes we look to our boss at work, perhaps, or our friends. Now, if they're godly Christian friends, they can help us. But the best help that they can give us is to point us to the Lord, to cry out to Him. Amen? That's what a godly friend ought to encourage you to do. Because only at the end of the day, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that can help us. He is the Savior of our soul. He is the only one that can deliver us. Friends, He's the only one that can deliver us from our sins. The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, the Lord calls the lost and sinful to come to Him. He is the one that died upon the cross to pay for our sins once and for all. He is the one that rose again from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ said Himself, "He that cometh to me, in no wise will I cast out." Thank God we can come to a Savior to save us once and for all. I remember when I was 25 years of age, I had no idea what it meant to be saved. I had heard things about the Bible. I had heard things about God. But I was just trying to do my best in order to get to heaven. I prayed prayers to Jesus. I prayed prayers to Mary. I prayed prayers every day, every night, every morning, trying to get to God. But one day I heard the wonderful truth that Jesus saves. Friends, if you are dying and someone saves you from perishing in that water, what happens? Do you get thrown back in again and get saved again? No, the word saved in the Bible is a permanent word. It means everlasting salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we need to be saved on God's terms. God calls us to come in repentance. We are to sorrow over our sins in the light of the Word of God. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve. We deserve the judgment of death for our sins. That's how wretched our sins are in the sight of a holy God. As we were talking with a man yesterday at door knocking, Brother Huey and I had an opportunity to speak to this blind man. And we'll be praying for him on Wednesday night. And he had never heard the gospel before. And we shared with him that, you know, salvation is necessary because we are sinners. And if we all compared each other to one another, we would appear to be pretty good people when we compare ourselves with one another. But if we were to stand next to the Lord Jesus Christ as holy God, without sin, without fault, without moral impurity, if we were to stand next to the holy Lord Jesus Christ, how would we look then? Well, we would be in big trouble because we are consumed with sin. The Bible says we are dead in our sins and trespasses. That's how far separated we are from God because of our sins, because of our iniquities, because of our wickedness. And yet the wonderful, joyful news is, friends, that God hath sent a Savior. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," as we shared with this man. He said, "Why would God do that? It doesn't make sense. Why would God suffer for our sins?" John 3:16, praise God. "For God so loved the world." And then he got it. He said, "God did it because He loved me. He loved me. That's why He came. That's why He died upon the cross. Because He loved you. He paid for our sins in full, once and for all, upon in His body upon the tree. He shed His holy, sinless blood to atone for our sins. And the judgment of God's wrath was satisfied in His payment once and for all. And then He rose again from the dead. So the world has a living Savior to call upon today. for salvation full and free. Friend, I trust tonight that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ once and for all. He is able to save. He is willing to save. Will you come to Him for salvation? Will you trust in Him? As we sang that wonderful hymn, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. May the 7th, 2005 was the day that the penny finally dropped. I finally stopped making excuses and pretending I was a Christian. I told everyone in the Independent Baptist Church I was going to that I was saved. Of course I'm saved. Of course I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I always have. But there was never one point in my life that I repented of my sins and I put my faith in Christ to save me once and for all. Up to that point, I just wanted a ticket to heaven. But then when I realized by the Word of God that I was a sinner and there was a Savior, friend, I didn't wait. I called upon His name. And then the light of Jesus Christ came to my soul and changed my life forever. Amen. And I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Amen. And I'll sail the wild seas no more, friend. That life is gone. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Friend, has Jesus Christ done such a work in your heart that He saved you and there's an evidence of change in your life? Friend, if there is no change, there is no salvation. When He saves forever. Thank God for His salvation. What a wonderful Savior. As Peter cried out to the Lord, he was already a believer and he was in trouble because he was sinking and he didn't wait. And Christian, we can also learn a lesson as well. It's not only a lesson about salvation, but a lesson about faith. We need to be quick to pray. We need to be immediate in prayer. When you and I find ourselves in trouble, we need to allow the Spirit of God to lead and quickly pray to God. Friend, don't allow the circumstances around you to overwhelm you. Because we have a wonderful Savior who, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, picture it, walks upon the winds and the waves of the storm. Amen. He is able to overcome. And He will walk the waves and the sea to come out to you and I, to where we are at, to deliver us from our fears. That is our wonderful Savior. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter number 63. Psalm chapter number 63. Let's take God's word for it. Amen. Psalm chapter number 63, and verse number 1. The psalmist says this, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, and my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Friend, the psalmist knew his God, and that's why he sought Him early, immediately, quickly. Friend, you and I, when we stop and we don't call out to the Lord in our time of need, we are revealing where our heart is really at. Friend, that is pride. We don't need God. We can sort it out. And maybe I'll call out to God when I'm at the bottom of the ocean. Maybe when I'll call out to God when there's no other option left. Friend, that is unbelief. Friend, that is an offense to God. Friend, that is you and I rising up in pride, thinking we can handle the issues of life. Peter couldn't handle this situation. He was sinking and sinking. And the further he waited, the longer he waited, the further he would have sank. Would you agree? Friend, we need to come to the Lord immediately. We need to come to Him straight away. Let me encourage you, don't be a Jonah. Amen? What was Jonah's problem? God was dealing with Jonah, and he waited until he was at the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of the whale, and then when he was at the bottom of the barrel, he cried out to the Lord. But that was after a lot of suffering that he had to go through. If you read the book of Jonah, God doesn't want us to wait. He wants us to cry out to Him. And by the way, as you read the book of Jonah, notice the shocking testimony he was to those around him. As God was dealing with him, and he refused to obey the Lord, and he refused to to come clean with the Lord, Jonah was a terrible testimony. Those seamen, those mariners, were watching Jonah and looking at his faith and saying, if this is a man of God, what a ridiculous faith he has. In fact, they had more faith in the living God once they turned to God than Jonah did. Jonah was a shocking testimony, a shocking example. And I'm reminded this evening, as you and I go through the storms of life, as we face the winds that are contrary, going in the opposite direction, as we face the challenges God allows our way, friends, there are people watching us. Our children are watching us, parents, when we face the storms of life. Our neighbours are watching us also, and sometimes listening in. Depends how close they are. Sometimes they listen in. And, you know, let's be honest. We need to be careful on how we lose it in times of trial. God doesn't want us to lose it. Amen? He wants us to show a testimony of faith. He wants us to cry out to Him early. That's the way that you and I are able to rise out of that place of despair. Amen? Peter cried out to the Lord. His prayer was immediate. Notice his prayer was brief. His prayer was brief. Back in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Notice another lesson about Peter's prayer as he cried out to the Lord. We need to cry out to the Lord immediately when we sink. Notice verse number 30. His prayer was brief. His prayer was brief. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what are the three words? Lord, save me. Now, did Peter say anything else, yes or no? No. A three-word prayer. Amen? A three-word prayer is what Peter prayed. And the Lord rescued him. You see, the Lord is not interested in you and I praying long-winded, repetitious prayers. No, He wants our prayers to come from our heart. He wants our prayers to be sincere. The Lord said, in fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The Lord doesn't want us to pray like the religious. When we pray, we are not twisting the arm of God. Amen. We don't have to force God to do anything. In fact, He knows the need of our hearts before we pray, before we speak to Him. So let me encourage you. If you're here this evening, you might say, Pastor, I don't pray because I don't know what to say. And no doubt there are some of you here tonight, some of you who haven't prayed in months, who hardly ever pray, and you're a Christian, and you might say, well, I just don't know what to say. Friends, it's just like our salvation. There are no special words to pray to get saved. No, you simply cry out to the Lord for salvation. Likewise, as a Christian, we live the same way by faith. We call out to the Lord, Lord, save me. What a wonderful prayer of faith. What a simple prayer. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. Now, some of you don't come to Wednesday night prayer meeting because you're afraid of what to say. Can I encourage you by Peter's example tonight? We don't have to pray long prayers. In fact, in my opinion, the shorter the better. Amen. That way more people get to pray on Wednesday night in your small group. Amen. That's the idea. We pray together. We all have a time to pray. And God knows the need, and He wants us to exercise faith, and the Lord isn't interested in long speeches like the Pharisees. No, He wants our heart, and we can pray simply and honestly, and He will hear our prayers. What a wonderful lesson this evening. Let me ask you tonight, are you facing the winds and the waves? Are you sinking in the situation that you're facing? Maybe you feel like you're about to sink. May I encourage you to cry out to the Lord. To cry out to the Lord for deliverance. You see, as we look at what Peter did, we've got a wonderful comfort. Look, if you're at work and suddenly everything gets turned upside down in a moment, what a blessing that we can come to the Lord immediately. In prayer. You can just go to a place of prayer and just cry out to the Lord. You might say, well, I can't leave my workstation. I can't leave where I am. Well, that's fine. How about three words? Lord, save me. Amen. Lord, help me. Amen. That is our God. He is present with us always. He is always with us. He is always seeking to help us. He is our rock and our salvation, but we need to cry out to Him. Parents, you can cry out to the Lord immediately when the trial comes into your home. You can cry out immediately when your children find themselves in big trouble. You can cry out immediately to the Lord and He will hear you. That is our God. That is our Savior. That is who He is, friends. Let me encourage you. Don't wait till you have your set time of prayer during the day to pray to God. We need to start our day off in prayer. That's important. But don't leave it at that. So often during the day, we need to pray. You might get out on the road and say, Lord, protect me on the road, Lord. Protect me from having an accident. And Lord, please help me to be a witness to my workmate. I can see there could be an opportunity to talk to him right now. Lord, help me to have an answer to his questions. Amen. Praying to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you for turning there. The book of 1 Thessalonians. Friends, let's not make God out to be who He is not. He delights in our prayers. He delights to answer those who call upon Him in faith. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read the short verse in verse 17 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, on 2. 1, 2. Pray without ceasing. Three words again. Pray without ceasing. And that simply means God wants us to always be in a spirit of prayer. He doesn't say, I want you to pray every minute of the day. He knows that's not possible. But God wants us to be always ready to pray, a readiness to pray. And yes, though Peter was sinking, boy, he was ready to pray, amen? He was ready to cry out to the Lord. There was no question in his heart whom he needed and who could rescue him. It was the Lord Himself. And friends, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be as a Christian, we need to always be in a readiness to pray. And the more you and I practice that faith-filled life, the more we will pray. You see, prayer is an amazing thing. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. And the more you pray, the more you'll seek the Lord early. The more you'll pray quickly to the Lord. And the more you'll experience His help and comfort and deliverance. And the more you'll want His presence in your life. Amen. So let me encourage you to pray to the Lord this week. To cry out to Him early. To be ready to pray. You know, the Bible is full of examples of short, powerful prayers. Amen. You know, didn't the disciples say to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. That was it. Lord, increase our faith. The father of the demon-possessed son said to the Lord, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. There's a short prayer. The Canaanite woman cried out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Now, some of us tonight don't believe that those kind of words will help us. Hey, that's not enough. I need to delve into the deep theological truths of systematic theology in order to speak to God. Well, is that what the Bible tells us? No. We need to know more about our God and study Him. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with systematically going through the Bible and learning who God is. But friends, if you are saved, you've already prayed to the Lord for salvation. Will you not live the life of faith? The just are saved by faith, and we are to live the same way, praying to the Lord. Especially when we find ourselves sinking, we need to pray immediately. And then we need to pray from our hearts, briefly, as we sink. As Peter sank, it was the Lord to whom he prayed. It was the Lord in whom he trusted. And friends, our Lord is the same Lord. He is with us always. Notice back in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, are you still with me tonight?
Yep.
So just 2 points tonight. We see that Peter cried out to the Lord. Notice back in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Notice secondly, the Lord rescued Peter. Amen.
The Lord rescued Peter. Let me ask you tonight, did the Lord let Peter sink to the bottom of the ocean? Sometimes that's how we feel. We say, Lord, I'm sinking and you're not helping. Well, let me ask you, have you cried out to the Lord? Are you continuing to cry out to the Lord? Are you continuing to seek His face? The Bible says the Lord rescued him. What a wonderful example of His faith, of His love and care for us when we cry out to Him. Notice verse number 31. Now, these words are very specific. The Word of God is very specific. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. Notice the Bible tells us that Jesus answered immediately. Now, hang on a second. You might be saying right now, Pastor, I pray and the Lord hasn't answered my prayer immediately. Well, He doesn't. Sometimes He allows us to wait. Sometimes He allows us to learn a few lessons before He finalizes that answer to prayer. But you see, the immediacy that took place here is the same thing that takes place in our life. You see, as Peter was lifted up from the sea, lifted up from perishing, let me ask you this evening, had the winds and the waves ceased blowing and billowing? Yes or no? No, the storm was still there. What did the Lord save Peter from? He saved him from his despair. He saved him from his fear. He saved him from his doubts. You see, when you and I find ourselves sinking in despair and we cry out to the Lord in faith, the Lord promises to deliver us from all our fears. The Lord promises to deliver us from our doubts. The Lord promises to deliver us from our worries. You see, the Lord doesn't deliver us from the situation we're in necessarily straight away, but He does something much greater. He enables us to stand in the storm with Him. Amen. See, Peter was standing once again. Notice your Bibles, he was still standing on the water. But who was holding on to him? It was the Lord. What a wonderful picture. The Lord Jesus Christ stretched forth His hand. Peter didn't stretch forth His hand. The Lord did. The Lord reached out. Jesus stretched forth His hand immediately and caught him. What a picture of the Lord's love. Amen. What a wonderful description of His heart for us. As we simply cry out to Him in simple faith, He stretches forth His hand. He is the one that rescues us from our despair. He is the one who calls us unto Himself and is able to give us rest in the midst of the storm. As the storm was still raging around him, the circumstances hadn't changed, but Peter was no longer fearing the storm. Amen. He was with the Lord. He was close to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. If you'll turn with me, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. How can you and I live by faith today? Well, trials are a part of the life of faith. God was testing His disciples. He was allowing situations in their life to help them to grow. And have you noticed God does the same for us? He gives us opportunities for faith. And yes, that includes the storms of life. Philippians chapter 4. Notice verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The word careful means to worry. So the Bible says, do not worry. In verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what is the result? Church family, verse 7. Friends, this is a promise of God. If you have not claimed it as yet as a Christian, let me encourage you to memorize these verses. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means though the storm may still be raging, though the trial may still continue, God is able to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. If you and I would simply cry out to the Lord in prayer and cry out to the Lord in faith, He can give us the miraculous supernatural comfort of His presence, of His helping hand
of His loving hand. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. A friend that is closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus answered immediately. And when we cry out to the Lord, though our circumstances may not have changed, He will lift you up. Amen. That is a promise of God. Families, that is a promise of God. Our children need to see practice in the home. Parents, if all they see is broke down Christianity, what are they going to do as they grow up as Christians? When they see parents collapsing in a heap, as they see parents not crying out to the world, to the Lord, but crying out to the world. My problem is I don't have enough money. My problem is I don't have the right kind of relationships. The problem is I don't have what I think I need. Friends, what are we teaching our children? We're teaching them the opposite of what Joseph believed. We're teaching them that God is not enough. We need more that we don't have, that God will not give us. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. Friends, we need to exercise faith in the home. Parents, we need to live by faith. And when the storm comes, let me encourage you, that's an opportunity to show your children what you believe. Amen. To show your children how great God is. To show the young people, adults in this church, who the living God is. Amen. An opportunity for faith. And Peter called out to the Lord. And there were others watching. As we close this evening, very interestingly, as back in Matthew 14, let's turn one more time back there. Matthew 14. The Lord rebuked Peter in verse 31. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that was a bit harsh. You know, he stepped out by faith, and when he was sinking, he cried out to the Lord, yes, but Peter needed to be rebuked. Peter needed to be challenged about his faith because he sank because of his lack of faith. Notice verse 31. O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Rebuke. We need the Lord's rebuke. We need godly Christian rebuke. That's part of the life of faith. In fact, we could just make a new message right now and start again. Amen. On the ministry of rebuke of the Lord, of godly Christians, from the Word of God, the ministry of we need to be rebuked. If you weren't rebuked for your wicked sinfulness before you got saved, friends, you've never been born again. You've never been born again. If you never felt the sorrow of God in your heart and the brokenness over your sins before a loving God that would send His Son, you've never heard the rebuke of God. We are wretched and He is so loving. And as Christians, we need to continue to be rebuked. That's a part of a life of faith. And Peter was rebuked. And he did much better for it, because we know what he went on to do. He went on to strengthen his brethren. He went on to lead multitudes of souls to Jesus Christ. So God was at work in his life, as he is in your life and mine right now. Don't be discouraged when he rebukes you. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he rebuketh. Amen. He rebukes those whom he loves to challenge us, to encourage us, to move forward in the Christian life. Now, as Peter called out to the Lord, notice verse number 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Jesus answered immediately, and then Jesus answered abundantly. You see, the storm had come to an end, would you agree? The trial that the Lord allowed in Peter's life and the disciples' lives came to an end. And friends, that is a truth and promise in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the trial of our faith will end sooner or later. God allows specific seasons of time to test our faith. But they do not last forever. They do not last forever. He designs trials to test us. He wants us to grow through those times. But the encouraging truth is, one day the storm will be over. There are some trials that last for a moment. There's some trials that last for a year, a number of years. There's some trials that last for our earthly days. But, friends, one day Jesus will come and take us home. You see, the storm was over. And as you face the trials in front of you, let me encourage you, the Lord is at work in your life and mine to prepare us for the days to come. It's interesting that in the book of 1 Peter, one of the major themes of the book that Peter wrote to Christians, to you and I, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the divine Word of God was written to us in the book of 1 Peter to teach us how to live in the midst of trials. Wow. I wonder if could it be that Peter learned some lessons as he walked upon water, as he sank, as he cried out to the Lord. He learned some lessons about what it meant to trust in God. He knew what it meant to fail. He knew what it meant to cry out to the Lord. He experienced God's deliverance. And friends, though he was a bumbling disciple, as the Lord was growing him, he went on to be a great man of faith. And let me encourage you, church family, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do not despise the trials of the Christian life. He is preparing you for greater things ahead. But we need to be careful to be like Peter of old and cry out to the Lord immediately, quickly, the sooner the better. Amen. To cry out in faith. Cry out from our hearts in simplicity of faith. And when we do, the Lord will deliver us from our fears immediately. And then he will answer abundantly in his timing and remove the trials at his will. Lastly, notice verse number 33. After the winds have ceased, after the disciples saw everything that took place, then they that were in the ship came. What did they do? They worshipped him. They worshipped the Lord, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." See, the Lord was glorified. And he will be glorified in our lives when we exercise faith in him. Peter's example is a very real one, but it's a very comforting one. It wasn't a perfect example. You did sink. You might be here tonight, you might say, "Pastor, look, I just don't have that great of faith. And, you know, I don't think I'm that good of an example at all." Let me encourage you to cry out to the Lord. Amen. To put your faith in God. And he will be glorified in your home, parents. He will be glorified in the workplace, adults. He will be glorified at teenagers as you study. And as all the students around you panic and break down at the huge exam at the end of high school. And what am I going to do for the rest of my life? I mean, what a choice to make. You know, all that study and you need to, in one moment, decide what to do for the rest of your life. And there's a Christian young lady, or maybe a Christian young man, trusting in God with a smile on her face, believing that God is in control. And though the trials of the final year of school may be so great in the eyes of others, there's a young Christian trusting in God, praying to God to help her with her exams, praying to God to help him with completing his schooling well. Young people, others will see that. Others will see your faith. I remember when I went to Bible college and I had quit my full-time job as the Lord called me into the ministry and my workmates were absolutely shocked. And the Lord gave me a very unique privilege to go back to the same workplace during the school holidays, and every holiday, except one, he provided for my needs through my previous work. So I was allowed to, by the Lord, to have a continuing testimony in that place, to keep witnessing to people. And then I'd see them for a couple of weeks, then I'd be away for months, then a couple of weeks, and that's how it went for 3 years. Now, towards the end of the 3 years of Bible college, one lady who was one of the producers in the company I worked for, she said this to me. She said, "James, what are you going to do after Bible college?" And I said to her, "To be honest, I don't know. I don't know." And then she started to smirk. She started to laugh. And she said, "Well, what's the point? What's the point in going to Bible college? You know, you left a good job. Why don't you come back?" And I said to her, "Look, I may not know what lies ahead, but let me share with you, God knows. And when God wants me to know, he'll show me." And she was shocked. Friends, the world is shocked by true faith. By biblical faith. That's what the lost need to see. They need to see not a perfect, sinless Christian, because there's no such thing. They need to see a Christian who not only falls, but rises up by faith. Amen. And then we might see souls saved as they see true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Then we might see the brethren encouraged, but it starts with you and I. You and I rising up with Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you're at the bottom. Maybe you've already hit the ground, the bottom of the ocean. Friend, it's never too late to cry out to the Lord. Friend, it's never too late to cry out to the Lord for salvation once and for all. As long as you can breathe in this life, you still have time. Don't wait. Don't wait, friend, if you're not sure about your salvation. And Christian, if you are, let us put the lesson of God into our heart tonight. Let me close with this verse. Psalm 145, verse 14. Why don't we turn there? Psalm 145. I was just going to read it out, but maybe you'd like to keep a bookmark there this week and perhaps meditate on Psalm 145, verse number 14. Psalm 145, verse 14. Let's read the verse aloud together. On two. One, two. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. That's a summary of what we've seen tonight in the miracle of Christ walking upon the water. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up, now don't miss it, all that are humble enough to cry out to Him when they're sinking. My friend, will you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? He is able to save. He is able to deliver Christians.